Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and we have a couple of great interviews for you today. If you're familiar with the AMC show Gangs of London, we have two directors from that show with us today. Corin Hardy, who fans and listeners of Slice of Sci-Fi may know as the director of the movie The Nun, and director Xavier Jeans, who had directed the movie Hitman. And I talked to both of them about their experiences directing season one of Gangs of London and what they're looking forward to for season two. And Gangs of London season one is available on DVD and Blu-ray right now. Find it at your favorite retailers and enjoy. So now, on to the interviews. Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and we are here now with director Corin Hardy, who some of you in my listening audience might know from the movie The Nun, but we are here to talk about his adventures with Gangs of London. Hi, Corin, how are you?
I am very well, thanks. And they have been some splendid adventures so far.
So talk about that. I mean, you went from directing a very involving horror film to an epic adventure crime saga. And yeah. So what were you looking forward to, or what was a challenge that you were looking forward to in jumping into a serialized story like Gangs of London?
I think it was a real opportunity to face a good challenge. You know, it's never good to get too comfortable. And as much as I always love horror and will look forward to doing more, I also love other genres and, you know, kind of crime dramas or sci-fi or, you know, Korean revenge movies, you know, inspired by. And so I'd sort of been both looking to do something in television at some point, but nervous to kind of wonder what that might be. And knowing that I really like visual sort of storytelling and almost like creating worlds within the story. So I was a bit nervous that whether we could pull something off on TV, and especially in a sort of British sense. So it came as a curveball, really, while I was sort of working on The Crow, and I'd been picking Gareth Evans's brains, not literally, but metaphorically, for, you know, talking about action, knowing what a master he is from his movies that he had made. And he's a lover of genre, and we'd sort of gravitated towards each other. And he asked me, he'd been putting together this show, Gangs of London, and asked if I might be available to do an episode, which at the time I wasn't. And then I eventually became available and ended up getting involved. And I was kind of, I suppose, apprehensive about, could I pull it off, you know, working in a much more of a grounded world. I mean, The Nun was particularly kind of gothic and stylized in a way, in even in the sort of genre of, you know, a demonic horror movie. And yeah, I also have a love of more grounded films, or films of William Friedkin, you know, or Bong Joon-ho, or you know, and in that sense, it was an opportunity to kind of face up to a challenge, to pull off a sort of grounded crime drama, but also with the knowledge that someone like Gareth had put it together, so it couldn't be too conventional, and you know, the action element and the genre element also had to be balanced in there. So it was something which I really relished, trying something new.
Well, Gangs of London itself is rather stylized. Did you have an eye toward anything in specific for the look or the presentation of the stories you worked on?
Well, it was really important to me and Gareth and also Xavier, who came on board as well for the third block, to first of all to make something that was a cinematic, visceral, thrilling, and I suppose un TV like as possible, in the sense of it being very visual, and like each episode would feel like a mini feature film and have its own identity, and it's and build in these sort of extraordinary set pieces. So in terms of kind of look, we were instinctively balancing these different genres within, an emotionally driven family crime saga. So we took elements of horror movies, westerns, you know, war movies, like I said, Korean revenge movies, John Woo, Asian martial arts and action, European sort of spy thrillers, and Hollywood blockbusters, and kind of wanted to build that in so that you had something that was incredibly like a roller coaster ride that was grounded, both grounded and also kind of extraordinary. And it was just quite an ambitious undertaking. And we didn't totally know whether we would be able to make it work, but hopefully we did. And seems like people have enjoyed it. So.
Well, I think it works quite well. And I'm looking forward to season two. The action sequences are literally cinematic. But there's an undercurrent of intrigue between the families and even members of the same families that for me is delightful. There's a tension there that is only going to end badly for everyone involved. What was your vision or your approach to shooting family interactions in such a way that sort of got that tension into where it just made it unbearably delicious for people like me who were watching?
I'm loving your choice of words. You've said intrigue, delight, and delicious. And that's a good start. I mean, certainly intrigue was very important. I think mystery, intrigue, tension, and emotion were the sort of fundamental four balancing act words to begin with. Like, regardless of how insane the action got, it was really important that everything felt motivated by the characters, the decisions, and the sort of predicaments that they were in. So they felt relatable, even if they were, you know, extraordinary. And you know, as an example, in my episode, what would be episode 5 in the US, it was going to be my last episode. You know, originally I was going to do one episode, it became 3 episodes, and then got asked to do the final episode as well, and then asked to do season 2. So it's completely consumed me in the end. But I think intrigue and mystery, you know, really important going into these sequences, that you don't, not only you feel like you're seeing something fresh and unexpected, that the characters feel always in danger and you never knew, you know, we wanted Gareth to set that out right in his opening scene to make it feel no one is going to be safe in this show, and you're never going to know, you know, you shouldn't get sort of, you shouldn't be tipped off as to who's going to be next, you know, you should never really know. So I wanted to build that, especially around episode 5, where I felt at the time it was going to be my last episode, and it was all these strands seemingly coming together, and it was a moment where it felt like Sean Wallace was about to get back on top and sort of reclaim control. I loved the script, that it kind of, the episode was like a kind of melding pot of these characters' journeys and plot strands that seemed to be coming together, and then they just explode quite literally in this alleyway sequence where Sean, after planning this family dinner, goes to meet Luan, the Albanian gangster that he sort of suspects might have had something to do with his father's death. And we, the audience, I wanted to play on the audience that maybe this is going to kick off, you know, something's going to happen between these two. And then left of center, someone you haven't met yet, some kind of mysterious assassin, starts taking shots from a high caliber rifle. And I wanted to really just push this tension and wind it up to an unbearable level that was also quite emotional, and put you in the point of view of Sean Wallace getting his ass kicked. And, you know, I don't want to spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. I know this is for the home release, but hopefully people are still going to watched that for the first time. But it was this idea of taking an action sequence right back to the family dinner table and kind of concluding and getting, just keep it all connected into a literal kind of long one shot that takes you right to the end of that episode. So it was just, yeah, we're trying to interpret these scripts in ways that, you know, we all come from cinema and we all come from features, and wanted to just sort of push that level of intensity, emotion, and intrigue in as far as it will go.
Yeah, well, I too, in addition to being a fan of science fiction horror, I love police procedurals. I love crime action. The fact you mentioned Friedkin, To Live and Die in L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
Is one, yeah, one of my favorites from back in the day. And so for you, for taking your, you know, learning all that you can from like other crime dramas, other genres, it seems to me, hopefully, that making the characters' motivations and machinations become as strong as possible. Because if you don't care about the characters and what they're doing, yeah, it doesn't matter how gorgeous the action is. If you don't care what happens to them during or after that action, it's not as much fun to experience as a viewer. So as a director, is, you know, how do you go about pulling that out of the page in such a way that it matters to everybody involved watching?
It's a really good observation. It's exactly what I think is special about Gangs. There's the tone of the whole thing and the balance between the grounded crime drama that feels realistic and researched and was, and is based on levels of reality, but expanded through genre and heightened in cinematic ways, but also with the characters themselves being relatable. So effectively every character in Gangs of London is a villain, and yet you hopefully love them and care for them and want to see some of them more than others survive and prosper. And that's, you know, tribute to the writers of the show. To always, you know, I love mindless, fantastic action movies, but it's just so important to be rooted and invested in those characters and relate to them. If you're experiencing things you can't kind of understand, you can't care, and you can't understand, you sort of feel it. So I certainly look in all my work to try and really, you know, connect to the character, feel their emotions, feel their fear or their love, and put that into the action, and then you get something special. And that's why I mentioned someone like William Friedkin, actually, because in To Live and Die in L.A., to French Connection, Exorcist, they all, and Sorcery, you know, they all have this deep character connection of people in these predicaments that you can really totally relate to, whether it's a, you know, a supernatural movie like The Exorcist that feels grounded and real, and it's, you know, mm-hmm. I'm trying to deal with a daughter having a breakdown, or you know, a cop drama like French Connection that feels utterly real and gritty, and then it's like the thrill is to try and pull something like that off and then inject it also with this sort of heightened, slightly more John Carpenter or Paul Verhoeven kind of infusion of genre, of westerns, of horror movies, of action cinema, or, you know, martial arts. Yeah, so it felt unique, and it felt like, thankfully, we were very supported and just sort of let go, go a bit crazy. And that was another thing. It was, you know, I was just thankful and relieved to just be like, wow, we're just we're just trying to do everything we love in here as much as we can. I mean, there's no actual monsters, obviously. I tried to put some of them into season 2, but
Nice. Well, given how busy you are, I don't know if you're active in either participating or even just watching stuff on social media, but are you on Twitter or Instagram, someplace people can check out your work?
Yeah, I'm just my name, Corin Hardy, on both in Twitter and Instagram. And I actually normally would post a picture a day during the shoot of whatever I'm doing as much as I can. And then Gangs of London season two, which I've just shot the first two episodes of, it was the most intense experience I've ever had to pull something off. And I just literally didn't even have time to put one photo up. I put one photo up on the 31st day. That was the best I could do. So you can see that photo, but I will be putting some other things up as we go to do with Gangs and my other projects and what I'm up to.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let the people, the powers that be, know that some of us really, really still do enjoy director commentary tracks on Blu-rays. Oh.
Me too.
And see if we can get some in there for season two. But Corin, thank you so much for your time and your insights today.
Thank you, Summer. Nice to speak to you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest now is Xavier Jeans, who is one of the directors of the amazing show Gangs of London. And welcome, Xavier.
Merci. Merci beaucoup. Thank you for accepting me and inviting me to your show.
Absolutely.
Sorry for the slippery in French.
That's okay. Absolutely. My pleasure. So, tell me, first of all, how did you get connected with this amazing show? And what was it you saw in the scripts that convinced you you had to work on this project?
So first, the way I get connected to the show was just the pitch and the excitement of Gareth Evans when he called me to do it. And Gareth and myself, we are friends. And obviously, I'm a big fan of Gareth's work. And when he called me and he told me, oh, come on, man, I have this show. Do you think you could be excited to do it with me? And we're always figuring out how to work together with when you have director's friend like Gareth, how we can collaborate on something. And basically, that was the best way to collaborate together. It's his own universe. So it's 9 hours of his universe. And he gave me 3 hours to direct in it. And I didn't want it to read anything. I say yes without reading, because it's just a first friendly decision, because we are very close friends in life. And he could ask me to come over to do a documentary about wildlife. I will do it, you know. So so it was really important for me to first have this that life experience, because all the decisions we are taking in life is about life experience. And to share this experience with Gareth was a strong life experience. And I'm so happy and excited to have been able to follow him on this adventure, really. And I was lucky he gave me a fantastic episode to direct. So no, it's really great. I had a blast working with him.
Awesome. Now, what was your most appealing or exciting part in directing the episodes you directed? Because this entire show is filled with action and suspense and drama and intrigue. So what did you have the most fun shooting?
The most fun, I think the most fun was the collaboration I had with the cast, because they are amazing and they are fantastic and they are so generous and smart. So basically, they made my work super easy. So my most fun experience was to work with them, and I could every day in a year work with them. I love them so much. So that's the most fun I have. But regarding one specific scene, the most challenging thing challenging scene for me was the end of episode 7, which is the family meeting between the Wallace and the Dumanis. And that scene was challenging at many levels, because I had the entire cast around the table. It was not really an action scene, but more a build-up of tension until Sean do something terrible in that scene. Spoiler alert, he's shooting into Ed Dumani, and for me that was important to create and build up that tension, and also to get everybody staged around that table in a logic way, and to find the logic in, I think there is like 7 characters around the table, plus Chopé, Derisu, Elliot Finch, arriving at the end of the scene. You have many layers to create in that sequence, and that was the most challenging scene for me to create, because it's built like an action scene. You have that tension between Wallace and between Marian Wallace and Ed Dumanny, and you have Sean Wallace, which is a young wolf ready to bite in the background of the scene. So that was super complicated to set up and stage. Then I had where I had a lot of fun, and it was really funny to do. That was the massacre of the investment bank with the Nigerian attacking with machete. So it's a one sequence shot where they're attacking everybody, and I kind of really enjoyed myself doing that. That was really fun. And I was lucky to have Jude Poyer helping me with the big machete fight in episode 8. And at some point, we were talking in prep how we could do this scene, and we were a bit behind in schedule. And he told me, oh, man, you can only have one day to shoot this scene. So what can we do in one day? So we figure out a very fast and brutal action, and where Jude was super smart, tell me what is the intention, the emotion of Luan in that scene. And I told him, Mozzie is ready to kill his family, he's ready to kill him, so it's rage, it's pure rage, it's like a lion, and we need to film a lion killing five guys in less than 1 minute, because if you want, in one day you can choreograph only 45 to 50 seconds of action. So we had to justify this short fight by the intention and the emotion of the character. It's still character driven, even in an action scene. So we staged that scene, and Jude was able to create a choreography which is completely logic with the emotion of the character, and that's why he's so brilliant, and he did all the action scene of the show, and he's a real genius of this, because he's thinking first character-driven and cinematic elements before the show-off of a fight. So for that, I was very lucky, and that was quite exciting, because when you see the scene in episode 8, it's very brutal and violent, and I wanted to finish that rage moment with the finger in the, in the eyes. And we keep the, you know, when we did that, we keep the camera rolling, and we were supposed to cut, you know, and because in the script he killed Mozzie, and that's it, and we keep rolling the camera, and I say to Orly, the actor, I say to him, keep going, you know, you speak very slow, very low behind camera to let him in the acting, and he was like catatonic as he is, and we keep the take going on until he goes to the elevator with his wife, and that was not a script at all. It's just improvisation on set, and I'm so happy with that, because I think it's really how you can feel after killing everybody scene like this. So we had this kind of fun doing it.
Oh, well, I'm glad you had fun doing that, because a good emotional scene, like you said, the family meetings around the table, when the tension is being built up by everybody having all these emotions, there's a push pull that needs to be choreographed almost as much as a fight scene, and those are just as emotionally satisfying as a good massacre scene.
Yeah, exactly, but that's the challenge of the show. It's the balance between a drama sequence which has to be choreographed as well as the action scenes, and as we have a genius doing action scene like Gareth, and he's really good, he's a genius as well in drama, so I was figuring out, okay, in my episode it doesn't have that much of action, but I need the drama to be at the same level as the action scene. So we were pushing the limit on this and trying to figure out the best way to create choreography inside the shot, to stage long sequence shot, to tell many things in a one hour, to be able to tell that story a little bit like when you look at the what do you call that, Scorsese movie, sorry, I have it just in French, The Godfellas. You have all that one hour going into the restaurant by the kitchen, and they arrive in the front table. And we love that kind of cinematic experience. And with Gareth and Corinne, we are like, oh, let's try to figure out moments when we can express that kind of cinematic moment. So in episode 7 or 8, you know, there is that moment when we are in the warehouse of Lale, and we're following a car from the drug dealer preparing all the drugs, and then we follow him in the flower shop, and we keep on going until he goes to talk to Lale. That was a winner, and in a TV show, it's not common to we never do that kind of winner in a TV show, and here we were pushing ourselves to try to do some sequence shot when we could, and look at Corinne Nardi, what he did at the end of episode 4. It's brilliant. It's so amazing the way he bring the drama around that table when Chopé Elliot has been shot and they put him on the table. All of that is in one sequence shot, and he finished that episode with the mirror broken. It's brilliant. It's a pure cinematic moment, and this is the kind of things we wanted to do all the time.
Yeah, I for one am happy that production studios are allowing directors like you and Gareth to experiment with making television more cinematic. And this has been years and years in the making, and we are actually getting amazing television shows like mm-hmm. Gangs of London. So thank you for your passion and your hard work on that.
Yeah, we enjoy so much, and as a fan, this is the kind of things we want to see, and we realize how lucky we have been to do that, to be honest, because we were calling each other with Corinne and Gareth, and sometimes we are like, man, this is crazy, nobody is telling us to stop and don't go that far, and we were like, man, it's insane. We realized we were super lucky to do that, and for that, Pulse Film and Sister Picture and Sky, they were fantastic with us, really.
Yeah, and the feedback from the fans here in the States has been quite impressive as well. Is there anything you can share without getting into trouble about season 2?
What can I share about season 2? I can share it's Corinne Hardy with the lead director in season 2. So it's Corinne, mostly the showrunner of season 2. And then I can say there is Marcella Said directing a few episodes as well. I can share there is my DP from my episode in season 1 who is doing some episodes of season 2. And I can share, it's going to be probably even more violent than season 1. That's all I can share.
Well, every little bit of tease helps, but are there other projects that you are looking at?
Yeah, I'm producing the second movie of Mounia Medour, who did Papicha last year. And it's a movie produced, and he won a French Academy Award, the César, last year. So we are shooting the second film in September. I'm doing a second unit on Gareth Evans' film called Havoc with Tom Hardy and Timothy Olyphant and Forest Whitaker. So he called me to the second unit, and Gareth can call me, I told you, whenever he is in the world, and I will join him if he needs. So... So I'm super happy to join him for this adventure and have a big time and a good time with him. That's going to be fantastic. And I'm supposed to shoot a movie in France and Thailand at the end of the year, beginning of next year. But it's all depending of the sanitary situation. So it's called Farang. And Farang in Thai means stranger. And to be simple, it's a revenge movie with ghosts.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that. Xavier, thank you so much for
Merci
your time
beaucoup.
Today.
Thank you, Summer.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of Slice of Sci-Fi.
And if you haven't seen Gangs of London yet, and you are a fan of crime dramas, this is right up your alley. What are you waiting for? The Blu-ray features a lot of making of segments, and I think some of the videos may actually be on YouTube. Some of the featurettes talking about the families, the action. There's also a breakdown of the pub fight. I think that's also one of the YouTube videos, one of the featurettes on YouTube. I think it's either AMC's channel or Sky One. Can't remember now. We'll have to go look that up and link to it. But this is a very dynamic show. I can never get into The Sopranos. Yeah, I know, sacrilege. That's just me. But I like Gangs of London. If you were to ask me, I would have to think about what makes it different for me. I don't know, maybe it's a more appealing ensemble. I would really have to think about it. But I am very happy that both Corin and Xavier will be back on for season two as the directing team. So looking forward to what they will be doing with the families and the situation in season two. How about you? Are you watching Gangs of London? Is Gangs of London the sort of drama that you are drawn to? Let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com, or hit me up on Twitter, @sliceofscifi. Yes, I will talk about TV shows, movies, short films, comics, quite a wide variety of entertainment media. Yes, I watch too much television. I've known that for decades. And of course, if you want to leave some feedback on this episode or any of the other interviews we've done, the place to do that would be sliceofscifi.com, the website. Come on by, check out the reviews, check out the interviews, leave a comment where you see fit, because starting a conversation talking about the entertainment that we like and don't like, it's just par for the course. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And yes, I'm still working on the Spotify. And if you are listening on Apple or Stitcher or are a member of Podchaser, please leave us a review. Help signal boost the show. Leaving your feedback helps raise the profile. So thank you in advance for all of you who do. I'd like to also thank everyone who is helping to support Slice of Sci-Fi and all of the shows in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe, including Writers After Dark, where I talk to authors of various genres, science fiction, fantasy, horror, thrillers, mysteries, and also the occasional comics book writer. I'm trying to get more of them on board. And Babylon Podcast, the archives of the show where Tim Callender and myself talked about everything Babylon 5 under the sun we could find and then some. That show ran from 2006 to 2012, and then we jumped back in 2019 for a 10-episode run honoring the 25th anniversary of the show, which we had a lot of fun with that. So go check out that archive if you are a new fan to Babylon 5. Thank you, HBO Max, and haven't had a chance to dig into the many, many Babylon 5 podcasts that came along while you were not able to watch the show unless you bought the DVDs. But your support helps keep all of that online. And you can add to that support by going over to Patreon, patreon.com/sliceofscifi, and add yourself as a patron, pledge to help keep this online. And by doing so, you become eligible for perks. Every month I pick a winner out of the hat, and that person gets to choose a Blu-ray, a DVD, a 4K, or a book from the many review items I get here that I can't keep because I'm running out of space. So you all, listeners, fans, supporters, you guys get first dibs at the cool stuff. And if a donation every now and then is more to your speed, more to your liking than a monthly pledge commitment, you can still donate and help the cause. The link to use is paypal.me/sci-fi summer. And yes, I'm working on setting up a coffee page, ko.fi.com. There will be a Slice of Sci-Fi page there, and you can donate from there. And I'm working on making that also a subscription to make it easier to share with that audience some of the pledge perks that the Patreon supporters get wind of, the occasional behind-the-scenes video of an interview that might be audio only on the show. Those are sometimes appear. But again, everyone who is helping support to help me keep these shows, these podcasts, these websites online, my heartfelt gratitude and eternal thanks goes out to you. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.